You are listening to the sermon stream of the Mulvane Church of Christ in Mulvane, Kansas. Subscribe in your favorite podcatching app by searching for Mulvane Church of Christ Sermons, or find and listen to any sermon in the archive at mulvanechurch.com/sermons. Find out more at mulvanechurch.com.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here on this beautiful Lord's Day. We're so thankful for the beautiful sunshine and had some good rains this week, and I'd like to welcome everybody here. I'll be teaching a familiar parable this morning out of Matthew chapter 13. Very familiar with many. Probably more of the more recognizable parables in the Bible. And we'll start out with a bit of a reading there, if you don't mind. Usually don't do such a long reading, but this is such a great parable. We're going to kind of take a different angle on it than you usually hear on this parable. But we'll start in Matthew chapter 13, and there I want to start reading beginning in verse 3. And it starts about how Jesus used parables so well through his ministry, and they're still preaching to us today in so many different ways. This new way I'm looking at it this morning was a new way for me to learn an old parable also. So verse 3, when he spoke many things to them in parables, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then skip down to verse 18. There's some good discussion there, and I encourage you to read on in Matthew chapter 13. But for our purposes this morning, we'll skip down to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Jesus continues. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares for the world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus in this parable tells a parable about evangelism, really, and he's telling it not just to evangelists. He's telling us to all Christians how we need to spread the word of God and this life that we have on this earth. There's some very good pointers here for us in this common parable. And we'll start out kind of examining a little bit more in depth about the parable. And then we'll go into something that's a little bit different from what you're used to hearing. So there's three things essential for producing a crop for harvest. I'm an amateur farmer myself, I claim to be. And I love cruising down 130th and 130th in Sumner County and looking at mostly Parker these days, farming up and down that street, that road, and seeing what he has going on. And then I garden. I've been gardening for quite a little while with some success every now and then. But there's three things essential in this parable for producing a crop for harvest. And the first thing that was mentioned was the seed. Of course, that's our means for reproduction. We put one seed in the ground, and we hope to get 100-fold out of that one seed. And of course, as we read in this parable and the parallel passages in Luke chapter 8, we see that the word is the seed of the kingdom. So it's the word of God is how we cause things to reproduce within our life here on this earth. So we spread the word of God best we can, and that's how we get the increase in God's kingdom here. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Also, we can see that in Galatians 6:7, what we sow is what we reap. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6:7. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So we have to be careful what we're sowing, and that's why us gardeners try to buy good quality seed, because we put something in the ground and we want to do all that work. We want something good to come up. So the seed is a very important part of this equation here we have for evangelism. Also, we know the next thing you're going to need in this parable is a sower. And I just didn't use the word evangelist because I thought you just would think about preachers, but all of us should be evangelists in our lives. So I have evangelist Christians are the second part of this parable, and that's the third essential ingredient for a successful harvest here. And 1 Corinthians 3:6, here it talks about Paul and his work with Corinthians and the evangelism there. It says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we continue to pray for that increase within the kingdom of God. Also in Acts 18:8, there it says, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized. We see a successful effort there from the sower with the help of God being the second part of that great equation. And then thirdly in this parable, we hear him telling us about the soil. And as we read on in that parable in Luke 8, now in verse 15, there it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, and with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Luke 8, there in verse 15. I have it for you on the screen there. So we have these soil here in the parable analogy to our souls or our heart. So we have, and as we read in our parable, we have four different types of soils/souls. And those are the people we're trying to reach in our evangelistic effort here. First of all, we have the wayside heart, or this seed was thrown on the pathway here when the sower was scattering the seed. These people are often hard to reach. They have hardened hearts because they're hardened because of false teaching. You encounter that quite a bit when you talk to religious people. It's something that their parents taught them. It's something that their priests have taught them. And lots of false teaching out there in this world. And it's just increasing. This influence that humanism has on people this day is just sets you back when you hear what people say about religion. Hardened hearts by false teaching. Also, many people are prejudiced when you hear them. And certain denominations or they favor, or maybe they favor no denomination, on and on. That hardens many a heart. Unfortunately, I see a lot of indifference out there also. I see it in old people. I see it in young people. They just don't care. They don't want anything to do with religion. It's not part of their lives, their wayside hearts, so to speak. And then we see the deceitfulness of sin, and the devil, with all his wares, is able to deceive people. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitful of sin. So we need to guard about that. But when you're out telling people about the word of God, you'll see these wayside hearts that are hardened and are hard to reach. Also, the parable told us about a stony side of the harvest. And I call these stony or rocky soils, rocky souls. These are the type of souls that will wilt under the persecution that will always come their way. They fade because of persecution that comes their way. That's just going to be a part of it. New Christians need to be prepared for it. Old Christians need to be practiced and ready for it also. Always going to have places where you people try to get you to stumble through their persecution. And then the next soul he talks about is a one, the seed that fell along the weeds or in the thorns. And these are the people that are so concerned about this world that they find themselves not listening to the scripture also. Luke chapter 21, they're reading in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So you see, this world can consume people. And we have a lot of people this morning, not in this place, but in other places, recovering from their worldly consumption yesterday, last night. And they are consumed by the cares of the world. And finally, we have the seed falling on the good soil, and it produces a fruitful heart, good and honest, as in Luke 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings... boy, our printer, I think like our printer's disposable now, because every time I get one, not very often it lacks. So anyway, I got a blur on my sheet. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, a good man out of his good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speak. So here we have a reference to a good heart and the good things it can do in this way. Well, when I started, a couple things got me going on this lesson. I think Steve was talking about this parable, and then Bobby and Laura showed me a lesson from Edwin Crozier. And I read through it and got a few ideas out of it too, but I was real impressed with his angle on this parable. And that's what I'm going to do my best to use the rest of this time I have in front of you to go through. And he talks about this sower not quite being normal. In fact, he calls him a crazy sower. And think about it. How many farmers go out and spread their expensive seed on that dirt road of 130th? How many farmers take their seed and toss it in a bunch of weeds? You know, how many farmers do those type of things? So he called it I think he called them a crazy sower. So you don't hear about farmers purposely wasting seed. Acts like no farmer I know in Sumner County. They don't throw seed in the middle of the road, and they know that if they do that, they won't have any seed or crop to feed their family, and they won't have any harvest for any income down at the co-op when it comes around for harvest. So this just doesn't seem right. It's not a normal thing to do in this parable. And you know, those people that Jesus was telling to probably had that same question in their mind. What is this sower doing? Why is he throwing this seed where it shouldn't be? Well, a normal a sower optimizes the sowing for growth. If he has a packed soil, you'll see him tilling it or plowing it to loosen up the soil so the seed can gain good root. If he has rocky soil, you'll see fields that have been picked clean of rocks, not so much around here, but around Council Grove, sometimes you'll see big fields with stone fences all the way around them. Well, those stone fences were from those old-time farmers picking those rocks out of the field, and they stacked them up in nice, neat fences. Also, if you see weedy soil, well, that farmer's going to clear out them weeds before he plants. He'll either till the soil, cultivate the soil, and sometimes we have very sophisticated herbicides that are used on soil to get all that out. So, and today, the soil is even tested with great precision. A kid I went to high school with makes his living on that, and they can, with GPS, pinpoint exactly what that field needs, which fertilizer and which needs this and needs that, and they optimize that soil with great precision. But here, in this parable, he's just dropping the seed everywhere. You can just see him just throwing it out as he's walking down the road. And it's just going all over the place. So that's not normal. That's not what we see. In fact, Edwin Crozier went on to say that this soil is exactly the way the sower is doing seems exactly backwards than what we're having today. He wasn't testing the soil. He wasn't cultivating the soil. You know, sometimes we do that. We kind of talk to people in a questioning way before we start telling them about the gospel. We tell them, we test them, and we kind of cultivate them, and we kind of check them out, and we're real cautious. Boy, you just don't want to throw that seed to anybody. You don't want to throw that gospel out to anybody, we say to ourselves. So sometimes this sower, he didn't develop any kind of a relationship either. He just cast it out. Nothing was developed. He was just doing it, making sure he got the seed out of his bag. Sometimes we wait around. We wait for relationships. We feel like that's the best way to do it. And he wasn't waiting on the right time either, it sounded like here. He was tossing this seed out as much as he could and into every possible corner that he could also. So now many of you are kind of going, where is Rick going? Well, don't misunderstand me. Christians care about people. We wouldn't be interested in evangelizing if we didn't care about people. Christians love people just as Jesus showed us in the gospel how much he loved people also. And you can see this in many a story in the Bible of Jesus healing and helping. And one of the more endearing passages to me is Jesus' attitude toward children. And that one scene where he had children all around him and his disciples were trying to run him off, get these guys out of here. And he sternly warned them not to be that way. You can see Jesus loved people. You can see he had great relationships with people, and Christians need to follow that example today also. We need to have a great love for people, and the gospel will help us with that. And Christians need to love people just as Jesus understood people this. But I wanted to make this next point to understand this. When did Jesus love people the most? Was it when he was taking them, when he was healing them, when they brought their sick to him? Did he love people the most when he would cast out demons? Did he love people the most when he would feed big crowds? Was this when Jesus loved people the most? It wasn't, was it? Jesus showed his greatest love for people when he offered himself on the cross for their salvation. So when do Christians love people the most? Is it when we give them something to eat? Is it when we give them something to wear? Is it when we spend some time with them? Or do Christians love people the most when you tell them about the gospel and about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for them? Think about that. Is that when Christians love people the most? So we have this, as Edwin called him, a crazy sower. But you got to be careful. As you're thinking ahead of me here, we don't want to be crazy. And he said, but we don't want you to be a crazy jerk. And many of us have had experiences with these type of religious people in the world today too. And I remember back in my college days, every now and then some very crazy-eyed evangelists would hit campus. I remember that up at Lawrence, that summer I was up there, and I remember that quite a bit at WSU. And these guys were really aggressive, and most of them did have a wild look in their eye. And they'd come up to you and get in front of you. They'd block you. They'd have usually a Bible open or some other book open, and they would really get in your face. So we're not looking for that type of evangelism. I remember when I went to Hawaii one time, there was this big tree, Hawaiian tree, and there was some young man underneath that tree reading from the Bible, but then quite often telling everybody they were going to hell. And that was kind of his opening statement, was out telling about people that they're going to hell. A lot of people are going to hell, but that's not a good way for Christians to open up an evangelistic effort. We read in Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 16, that behold, Jesus says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we need to make the most of our time and see how we can be most effective when we send out the gospel to others. Also in Colossians chapter 4, there reading in verse 5, my last line is all blurry on my sheet here, so bear with me. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And that's something you develop with experience, but that's something you develop if you're trying to develop it also. So we want to be wise, and we want to walk in wisdom, and we pray for that. And we look at examples of people we consider wise and with wisdom, and we do our best to follow them. So we want to make the most of our evangelistic opportunities. Those are all good things to remember. But in our evangelism, let's look again at this, go back to this parable, and we see that he gives us some advice, and we, of course, want to know this also. We want to be like Jesus in our evangelistic efforts, and we want to learn all that we can from the perils he had before us. So let's look back, think back at this parable. Obviously, Jesus, in telling this, and those who were listeners, knew that there were going to be some problems with some of this seed that was thrown out. We're going to be told no quite a bit. And many of you, I know personally, have been told no quite a bit. Also, we know that, unfortunately, our retention rates are going to be kind of low. We've seen that, and I've been going to this church going on 38 years now. I've seen that quite a bit. Retention rates are quite low. Also, I see that baptism, people don't always stick with it. Even the ones, a few that I have baptized, not too many of them have stuck with it also. Edwin Crozier mentioned maybe a 1 in 10 people stick with baptism. How about that? And we see that quite a bit also. And that's pretty discouraging for us. But think about it. How many good souls were missing? How many people out there have a soul that's going to be responsive to the gospel of Christ? We can't be waiting around for just that right time. We can't be worrying about how successful we're going to be. We can't be discouraged by what unsuccess we've had also. And those are things that never deterred Jesus and shouldn't deter us also. We think about this parable and the evangelistic effort there, and we say, and we need to say, that we are not evangelizing wrongly when people baptize and don't stay in the church. We're not evangelizing wrongly when we're teaching people and they decide not to follow the gospel. We're not evangelizing wrongly when we baptize people and they don't bear fruit. But we are evangelizing wrongly when we keep that seed in our satchel, when we're not throwing it out. We are evangelizing wrongly when we worry about the results if we tossed out our seed. You see that in the parable? You see how he's just throwing that seed out there for everybody to have. I thought this sermon was going to last forever, and here I am on my last slide. So I had 14 slides, which is big for me. But this is how we want to end this lesson today. We need to sow some seed like crazy. And we need help and encouragement sowing seed everywhere. And my last point on this argument is, will you help? So I think this is a way to evangelize that we don't really consider. We need to be concentrating on getting the word of God out. We need to concentrate on getting the good message of Jesus Christ out in the community. We can't be held back by unsuccess. We can't be discouraged by unsuccess. And what's so important, and what the Bible time and time again teaches us to do, is get the word out. And that's what we need to concentrate in this place. Now, we've been doing some new things here. Jay's been good about getting the internet up and going, and that's a new thing. I know many of you older people can't relate to it, but people get a lot of their information off the internet, and that's a great thing for the gospel of Christ if it's used correctly. Unfortunately, a lot of people use it incorrectly. There's a lot of negative to it, too, but we need to do our best to continue to get the gospel of Christ out in the community, and that's one good way to do it. But each of you also can do things on your own with the people you meet, and just be ready. You're going to get turned down a lot, and be ready. Some of it's going to be kind of insulting. I get a lot of that at work just for who I am. I'm not preaching at work very much at all, but people know the way I am, so we suffer a lot of persecution because of that, but that shouldn't discourage you either. All these things are we talked about. So I want to encourage everybody today to get some seed out like crazy and cover all that you can, and pray for us to do more of that, and encourage those that are doing that, and do what you can to help out. Well, that's my lesson for today. Looks like we're going to give you back a few minutes, and I appreciate everybody's kind attention.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from the Mulvane Church of Christ. Additional information and sermons available at mulvanechurch.com.